Up on the screen, we have the Bible portion for our message today. If you'd like to read with me, let us read. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, I want you to picture in your own mind, if you will, a dove descending from heaven. But not like we would normally do, like at the baptism of Jesus, or in the symbols we often see around church or outside the church of the Holy Spirit. I want you to see this Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descending with eyes like fire, with a beak like an eagle, and talons strong and mighty. I want you to see this Holy Spirit dangerous, like an eagle, a hawk, or some other raptor. Why? Pentecost isn't a quaint, feel-good story. Not at all. It's actually the opposite. It's very dangerous. It's a dangerous story. Because what God is coming to do at Pentecost is to shake up the world, to make some heavy-duty changes in the lives of so many people, even us. Now, the story begins with the disciples who are now becoming apostles, from being taught to being sent, gathered together with about 120 people. Now, I don't know how many people we have here today, but you could gather all of the people on that day together in a room that's about half to a third this size. Okay, I want you to get that in your head. About 120 people gathered together in a place smaller than this. Now, I want you to do this because earlier in the scriptures it says that they gathered together because they were in fear of the Jews. So they were isolated because of the outside world and the danger that stood before them, because those who had crucified the Christ were certainly outside the doors and could enter in and take away these people, lead them to the government that they might do, be killed. However, the real danger of the story isn't what's going on outside the doors. The real danger is funky and odd because it's right inside with the 120, the apostles and the disciples. The Holy Spirit is about to come in and bust up the party of isolation, of fear, of the want and the will to be protected. And with that danger that is inside the doors, for God certainly is everywhere, and His Holy Spirit can be wherever He pleases. With that danger, guess what? The doors will fling open, and those outside will come inside, and the Scripture says, and about 3,000 will be added to their number, something they obviously did not expect. Crazy things happening that day. For example, that wind, that biaios is the name of it. The biaios here in the story. And by the way, the only place in all of Scripture mentioned. And you're wondering, well, what's that? I don't know. Nor does anybody else really know, because it's got so many kind of definitions. And I'll let you in on what some other translations in English say of this from the Greek? A rushing wind, a violent wind, a howling wind, a roaring wind, a fierce wind, a blowing like the mighty and strong, forceful, wild gale of a storm. I don't know. It's hard to tell. But it's mentioned only once in here, and I think that does tell me something. This is a very special wind, a very special occasion, something we're supposed to recognize and of which to take heed, because something special is going on, something divine, something extraordinary, something very godly with this wind that's blowing their way. Things are getting crazy, and people are speaking foreign dialects or tongues. Now, there's much to be said of tongues in Christianity today, isn't there? Being spoken in languages that are supposed to be heavenly and not intelligible to the rest of the world, except those appointed to translate them. But here you should know that the word for tongue, glossolalia, and the word for languages, dialects, switches back and forth as if they're interchangeable in the text itself. And so we're hearing that the people are inspired to speak in such a way that others outside the doors could hear what the word of the Lord has for them, as well as those inside the door. For the Holy Spirit comes to shake them up, not just with the wind, but also with the word of God, to unite them to all understand what God has to say to them, which has to take me back to the Tower of Babel. You know, Nimrod, what a name for a king. He wanted to build this massive tower. And so they worked night and day for months and years to build this mighty tower that they might reach up into the heavens and be like God. God looked down and said, "Nope, I don't think so." And he scattered the people from one that spoke one language to a people that spoke many, 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 many languages. And out they dispersed. Pentecost, all of that changes. The people are given the many languages to speak as one, and they come together. And the word of the Lord is heard, and it changes the lives of people. Things were certainly getting crazy with that awkward simile, which is so cool. Tongues of fire, licks of flame, is the way that I would translate it from the original language. What is that all about? Could they actually see it or not? Well, it's a simile because as they spoke, there was a boldness about the people as if they were on fire, hot. Who knows what they're going to do next? And that's what leads us into Peter and his boldness, who stood up before the people and said, "Men of Jerusalem, you killed the Christ. Now you repent." Those outside the door were dangerous. They could come inside the doors and take them away to be killed. Yet Peter stands up in boldness as if he doesn't belong isolated and says to those outside the doors, "You're not godly people. You killed the Christ, the promised one. But if you repent, you will be received into God's kingdom and eternally to heaven itself." And the Holy Spirit moved and like fire spread. And the heat of what God had to say through Peter changed the lives of so many. Which makes me say, just like us today, right? Proclaiming, prophesying with fire, with boldness, because God has changed each and every one of us, right? What's on your mind 24/7 as you worship together and as you leave these doors and go outside? Right? You're all like Peter, and you all have something to say with boldness. And the crowds are growing, aren't they, as people come to the Lord? Am I right? Sometimes I think we come into these doors to be isolated. Is that possible? Is it possible that we come into church to get out of the rain and protect ourselves from the world? We're in the world, we're not of it. That's a good thing to do. Well, certainly it is. We need to be strengthened. We need to be sure and confident that God loves us too. We need the sacrament. We need the presence of Jesus in our lives. We need baptism, and we need the ongoing work of enlarging God's kingdom. So there's more in the door, right? We fill our pews, correct? Partly. Why are you strengthened? Obvious, because you want to go to heaven, and God wants you there. Why are you strengthened? Not so obvious, because there's a pair of doors back there, and there's people outside. They're dangerous, I know, but they need you. They need young men to dream dreams. They need old men and women to prophesy. They need the young to dream dreams for the well-being of God's kingdom. The world needs you. You're not of the world, you're in the world, but like last week, I told you quite clearly, you're sent to the world, as it says quite clearly in the book of Peter. I have a friend who's Amish. His name is Enos. I know him very well because where I go for deer hunting in the area of Neillsville, for the past, oh, I would say 10 years, he has come to our camp the night before opening and asked if I'm there and if I'm hunting in the same place and that he'd like to walk out with me to the stand in the morning so that I know where he is and I don't shoot him. You should see this guy climb a tree. You know, they're in good shape compared to me. Well, it doesn't take much, but he's in pretty good shape. He can go up a tree that he stands in. It's about 20 feet up, and he'll get up there in about 1 minute as I watch him. Then I get to my stand, and it's light out by the time I'm up there. Anyway, Enos is a good guy. And I asked him, I said, why do you live the life the way you do, isolated in your little community so that the world won't attack and bring its evil in on you? I don't say it quite that way. And he tells me that it's the way his fathers and his father's fathers have designed life for the well-being of their Christianity. Fair enough. But we're Lutherans, right? We might drink a little beer in the tavern down the road. Or not. We drive cars safely, and we might live out there in the community where there is a Roman Catholic on one side, a Methodist on the other side, and somebody who doesn't know the Lord across the street, who we've gotten to know and talk to them about God and His love in Jesus. This is something the Amish cannot do. Understand the needs of the others in our community who are of other faiths and those who do not have the faith. You, my friends, make the difference. You, my friends, have been sent. And you never know how it's going to work out. You don't know where the whole thing is going to lead. The story of Pentecost is about being shook up, about that which is dangerous among us actually making a difference for the kingdom of God, that not being any longer dangerous from God's point of view, but maybe from the world's point of view. I want to tell you a story about Little St. Peter's Lutheran Church on the other side of the Mississippi from St. Louis, East St. Louis. It was a place that I used to go as my field work church while I was going to school in St. Louis. And I got to know the pastor there very well. It was a little German congregation set back in a way among some small factories and stores in a community that was still mostly white among other African Americans and a growing Hispanic population. Just a little side thing. The pastor there was into guppies. He raised guppies, and he had a Chevette, and there was a little guppy on the hood. So you can be thankful about my hobbies anyway. This pastor worked very hard with page 5 and 15 out of the old hymnal in his congregation. But all I could see over the time I was there was a decreasing attendance, which began to change the last 2 or 3 months before I was done and went on my vicarage. And the way that it was beginning to change was some Latino families were attending, which I didn't make much of. I went away for about a year, a little bit more than a year. I came back. I went back to the church for my field work, and half the congregation, to almost two-thirds, were Hispanic. They weren't doing page 5 and 15 anymore, and the pastor that was there had left and taken a call, and the vacancy pastor was speaking Spanish along with the English. And I looked around, and I felt very uncomfortable. What happened to this wonderful little church that I got so much out of those first 2 years? Different, changed. And I was introduced to something I never thought would happen, a foreign language, of which I wasn't familiar, and a culture which I didn't understand. Sometimes God does things that you're not ready for. Sometimes God works things out for His plan the way we're not quite adaptable to at the time, but then we understand God at work, we're at work. It may look dangerous when the people on the outside come on the inside. However, that's to us. To God, that's His good pleasure and a blessing unto His church. But this good news for you today, and the good news is that while we're inside these doors, we still preach the gospel, the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The gospel has remained the same throughout the years. The Holy Spirit has shook things up for many people. That's what shakes up the church. It's when those who are captive are released. Those who are bogged down in guilt and shame have the chains tore off. It's when He comes in a variety of different ways as the songs are sung within these walls. The sermons are preached. We receive the sacraments. It's when we share with one another the good graces of the Lord. That things happen. And these things have always remained the same. And folks, it's still happening here. We do what we're supposed to do, as the Scriptures say, and we allow the Holy Spirit to do what He does in His own will and way. And by the way, folks, If we don't continue to do the things given for us to do, the Holy Spirit's still going to do what He wants to do. Sometimes He does it with us. Sometimes He does it despite us. My message to you today is continue the good work, bringing the gospel, preaching and proclaiming and prophesying the good news. Take it with you in word and deed here outside of these walls, and let the Holy Spirit be who He is in the way that He wants to be and the way He wants to work. The body of Christ will be formed. God forms it, not us. God will make known His wonders and His will as He does it even amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen.